Father, my Father, my God, my Redeemer. Thine be the power and glory forever indeed. So let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4. And follow along as I read. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that is, examples of men and women of faith that he delineated in the chapter before, in the great chapter 11 of the heroes of faith, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. If you're able, would you stand and join me in prayer as we look at this passage. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of coming together this morning and worshiping you, singing your praises, and enjoying fellowship together. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We were not able to do that, but to worship you at home as families. And now we've come back with a renewed appreciation and a renewed thankfulness for what we have here in the body of Christ, the church, the fellowship of believers together, the assembly of the saints. What a blessing, Lord, and what a blessing we have to look forward to when we're all be gathered together around the throne of God, when we will bow before you and worship you and sing praises to you for all eternity. Bless our time now in your word. Speak to our hearts. May your name and your glory be seen and lifted up. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen just to apply the word to our hearts. And may we go away from here being able to say it was good to be together in the house of the Lord with the saints of God. We pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. You know, one of the questions we sometimes ask is, why do the righteous suffer? Why do believers go through difficult times? Why is there such pain and heartache and discouragement, even despair in the lives of believers? How is it that a child of God seeking to do the will of God many times experience hardships and trials and even suffering, sometimes beyond what the unrighteous experience? And we think it's not fair. Why me, Lord? Why me? Personally, why do I go through so much, we might say? Why is life so hard for me? What did I do to deserve this? Why do I have so many problems, so many heartaches, so many health problems, family divisions, financial hardship, not to mention the coronavirus, or as some like to call it, the communist Chinese virus that they inflicted on the world, it would seem. Why? Surely these believers to whom the writer of the Hebrews writes had questioned God. We kind of get an indication of that in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 32. Chapter 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after that you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. They were going through struggles. They were dealing with persecution, hardships, and they questioned God. They were going through hard struggles with suffering, a great fight of affliction. The word there, fight of affliction, is a word where we get a word athletics from. It's like an athletic contest, a struggle, a fight. And they became a gazing stock, or literally they were a public spectacle. The word is theater. They were like being put on stage and maybe mocked and ridiculed. They were put to shame with public derision and maybe taunted publicly. And some believe they may have been paraded through the streets and laughed at as believers. So they had maybe questioned God and were very weary of the struggle. We get that way, don't we? Are you tired of the struggle? Are you weary of the hardships? Sometimes we not only get tired of the struggle, we get tired in the struggle. Well, here's some encouragement in the struggle. Listen to Paul as he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Paul knew what he was saying. You read about Paul's hardships and his sufferings and his struggles in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And also 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28. We won't turn there, but my oh my, we've not seen anything like what Paul went through for his service for God. Nehemiah said to the people of Israel as they went back to rebuild the walls, come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. And the God of heaven, he will prosper us. So he's encouraging his people in the struggle, in the hardships, in the affliction. Come on, we can do it. And that's in Nehemiah. I didn't even write down what reference that was in, but you can read Nehemiah and find it. So, encouragement in the struggle. Number one, I'm going to give you 4 points, and we're not going to go through them all, but we're going to get to point one this morning and maybe point two this evening. But number one, your struggle is really nothing. And look at Hebrews 12 and verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So your struggle is really nothing. You haven't, you're not bleeding yet. You're not bleeding yet, is what he is saying. You're not dead yet. Number two, your struggle is a sign of God's love. Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So your struggle is really nothing. Your struggle is a sign of God's love. Thirdly, verse 10, your struggle leads to holiness. For verily, for a few days, they chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God will bring us through hard times that we might be holy. And that is always good. That is wonderful. So your struggle leads to holiness. And fourthly, verse 11, your struggle leads to righteousness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Your struggle leads to righteousness. So your struggle's really nothing. Your struggle's a sign of God's love. Your struggle leads to holiness, and your struggle leads to righteousness. That's pretty good news to me. God is so gracious. He's full of grace for you and me. And even the struggles are simply God's stepping stones to glory, to glory. This virus battle we're going through, whether it's a fear of getting the virus or a fear of what's going to happen to our economy and what's going to happen to my savings and all of that, whatever our fear is, we need to remember that this virus is a stepping stone to greater glory. greater holiness, greater dedication from you and me to trust our God. I trust we are praying more and loving God more than ever, calling upon him and looking to him more than we ever have. And if we are, then praise God for the virus. Praise God for the good that is coming from it, and much good has come from it. Of course, we know much bad has come as well, but we know God is in control of it all. How wonderfully true it is that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that every single thing, God is working it all together for your good and his glory. And so we can't go wrong. We've got it made in the shade, as I like to say, as believers. It's all good, and it's all glory. And in our battles, we're never defenseless. We're never without encouragement. The Lord Jesus was with the disciples in the boat when it was going down. And the Lord said, "Fear not, peace be still." Quiet. And the storm quieted. And so your storm can be quiet if we just listen to the voice of the Lord and realize he is with you in the boat. He's always with you in the boat. "I am continually with thee," the Lord promises in Psalm 73:23. "I am continually with thee. I will hold you will hold me by my right hand." God is continually with us, is he not? And so in our battles, we're never defenseless, never without encouragement. Just open your Bible, right? Just open your Bible and listen to God. And he tells us, first of all, the main point I just want to look at this morning is your struggle is really nothing, verse 3. Or another way of saying it, you're not dead yet. So what are you complaining about? God says, "You're not dead yet." You say, "Well, I feel like dying." Well, that's fine, but you're not dead yet or you wouldn't be here. Well, are you not dead? Some of us feel dead this morning, right? No, you're not dead yet, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Don't be weary and faint in your minds. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't lose heart. And how often we seem to grow weary and faint. Weary and faint. The race is long and hard, one of endurance. The fight against sin. Fight against sin. You know that fight, don't you? You know that struggle. We deal with it every single day. I don't care if we're 16 years old or 60 or 86. Sin never goes away in this life. And the fight against sin never lets up. The world, the flesh, and the devil are a fearsome, relentless foe. And we grow so weary, don't we? We grow so weary in battle. But the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, "Be not weary. Be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not." Don't give up. Don't give up. We're almost there. We're so close to the finish line. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." So be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is never in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. But we lose purpose. We lose purpose. Little by little, we lose strength and we're unable to sustain the long stress of the conflict. We get weary of the news of this coronavirus and all the happenings with opening up the economy and all that. We just get so weary of it. Turn on the news and it's coronavirus time yet again, and yet that's what occupies our minds, and we're facing all the time. And we're to press on. We forget to press toward the mark for the prize. So we lose purpose. We lose our focus. We lose our focus. Our focus, we're to be looking on things above. Set your affection on things above, Colossians 3:1 says, not on things on the earth. But we lose our focus, and we set our focus on things below, things that are happening all around us. We lose our faith. We lose our faith. We begin to war in the flesh. We battle the Satan and our enemies in the flesh rather than by faith. And remember, we can't take time to read Hebrews 11, but it's a wonderful chapter. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but he believed God would lead him. He didn't know, but he knew God. By faith, Sarah had a child. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. We need to look at our own life and see, are we walking by faith or by fatigue? Some of us have signs of fatigue in our lives, and we're tired of it all. What about Bible study? Where are you at in your Bible study? Are you reading your Bible? You spend time every day in your Bible? What do you spend time doing if you're not reading your Bible? You find time for news. You find time to look at Facebook, Instagram, and everything out there on social media. We can spend 5 hours doing that, and we have a hard time spending 5 minutes in the Word of God. Where's our priority? What kind of Christians are we if that's what our life looks like? What about Bible study? What about Bible reading? Do you enjoy it, or is it weariness? As soon as you pick up your Bible, Satan makes sure that you think it's a weariness. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can read. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. Well, there's a lot we don't understand, but there's a lot more we do understand. Get your New Testament out. Start reading in Matthew, or pick up Romans and read the book of Romans, or the book of Ephesians. It's wonderful, wonderful. You don't have to start out reading Leviticus. You don't have to start out reading the book of Numbers. You can speed read some of that genealogy, by the way. get to the good part, right? But we need to read. We need to look at our own life and see the signs of fatigue, Bible study, prayer. What about your prayer life? Is it fervent? Is it regular? Do you just take some time and call on the Lord? Just talk to him. Just talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need help. I'm weary. I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. And he would be delighted if you just are genuine with him. Pour out your heart before him. What about our witness? Is our witness a zealous witness? Are we as bold as a lion? Or are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? What about holiness? Are we living a life that pleases God? Is our heart pure and single, focused on him? But we get so weary, and we get to where we don't care, and that's dangerous ground on which we tread. We become like the people that Malachi admonished in Malachi 1:13 when he said they were saying, oh, what a weariness it is. Oh, what a weariness to offer these sacrifices, to go to the temple. What a waste of time. What a weariness. And we get like that, don't we? And then God reminds them, I am a great king, so saith the Lord of hosts. My name is dreadful among the heathen. Malachi 1:14. We serve a great king, and he deserves great enthusiasm and great love on our part. And we ought to give him our all. We need to watch and guard against that gradual tendency to let down and grow cold. The soldier, when the soldier goes into battle, he's got to be alert, ready, prepared, always on the lookout. There's the enemy. The Taliban's here. Al-Qaeda's here. China's there. Iran is there. North Korea's there. He's got to be on the lookout. Whatever. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. God calls you and me soldiers. But can he say, I'm a good soldier? There's my good soldier. He or she is fighting for the truth. They're standing steadfast. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the schemes of the devil, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore and watch you. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Stand fast in the faith. Act like men. Act like men, act like women. That's what God wants from you and me. He admonishes us in Ephesians 5:14, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly." Walk looking around. Circumference. Circumspectly. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Ephesians 5:14-15. And so what do I do? What do I do to do all that? Well, consider him. Back in our verse. Verse 3, consider him. That's so helpful. It's so practical. Just consider him. Think about him. Focus on him. Dwell on him. Meditate upon him. Love him. Give him your all. Consider him. Look to Christ and consider his sufferings. Point by point, going over them again and again. Not the sufferings on the cross only, but the sufferings that led up to the cross. He endured the cross, which included the sorrow, the shame, the denial, the aloneness. Consider his sufferings, and that's enough to support you and me. If the leader bears the brunt of the battle, then we as soldiers can follow in his steps. Consider. The word means reckon up, count up. We get our word logarithm from this word, analogizomai. Logarithm means calculate. Consider, calculate. Carefully calculate, evaluate, estimate, think about, ponder. Let your mind dwell on what Christ did for us. Read and reread the account of Christ's suffering, of going to the cross, the Garden of Gethsemane, everything that led up to it. Think on these things, Paul said in Philippians 4:8. The same word is used. Think, consider these things. And consider him, consider Christ. Reckon up his sufferings is what the writer is saying. Point by point, going over them again and again and again. We do well to do that, to meditate upon the word. I need to be totally absorbed with Jesus. And I will confess, I am not always totally absorbed. You know what I've been getting absorbed with. Same thing you've been in. And I still throw up my hands and how did we get into this mess? The whole world is in a mess with this thing, you know? Let alone our country and our state. Hey, we're making a little progress. We go 1.0 to 1.5 to 2.0. But we get so absorbed with these things and we lose focus. We lose focus. We start veering off course, but we need to be absorbed with Jesus. And that requires turning away from those things that distract us and focus and refocus on Christ. We need to read and reread the Gospels and the Epistles and just our Bible. Get the Word of Christ in our bloodstream. So consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Who endured such contention or hostility of sinners against him. His own people, the Jews, opposed him at every turn. They opposed his plans. They perverted his sayings. They ridiculed his claims. They blasphemed his person and name. And yet Jesus Christ patiently, yet surely, went forward. We read in Luke 9:51, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Nothing would deter him. Jesus set his face like a flint to Jerusalem where the cross awaited him. Early on in his ministry, that was his goal, Jerusalem, the cross. He knew. He foretold his sufferings and his resurrection many times to the disciples. So he set his face to Jerusalem. Again, that's Luke 9:51. He would not be deterred. What does it take to deter you and me? Consider him. Consider him. Jesus never became disheartened. He never became weary in doing the Father's will. He became weary physically, but he never got weary of doing the Father's will. What an example. He said in Matthew 10:22, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." In verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but fear him which is able to kill the soul and body in hell." Destroy soul and body in hell. Fear him. And he says in Proverbs 24:10, "If thou faint in the day of battle, your strength is small." If you give up, if you get weary in the day of battle, your strength is small. It's not much. He says in Isaiah 40:29, "He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." God does that for you and me when we get weary. Verse 31 of Isaiah 40, "And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We run, we soar, we walk. But we can soar like an eagle. And oh, to watch an eagle or a hawk or a Mississippi kite soar through the air. It's a beautiful thing. And God gives us wings like eagles. And he is our wings. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding," right? 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Do you sense that renewal in your heart? Are you being renewed day by day? The older we get, the younger we get spiritually in the Lord. Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap." Harvest is coming. Reaping time is coming. Fruitfulness is coming if we faint not. And 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Because, as the writer says again back in our passage, chapter 12, verse 4, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." You've not resisted unto blood, agonizing. And the word is agony. We get our word agonize from this word. You're not bleeding yet in your agony against sin, and it is an agonizing against sin. You aren't dead yet, so don't give up. Be faithful unto death, but don't give up before you die. Be faithful to the very day you die. And then what a wonderful transport that will be as the angels of God bring us into the presence of the Lord of glory. Don't give up. Be faithful unto death. You've not resisted unto blood. Maybe this is referring to the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, when in Luke 22:42-44, his struggle was so great and severe that his sweat was like great drops of blood. Some believe he actually was bleeding when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some say, no, it means his sweat was like drops of blood. Well, whichever it was, we know he endured it faithfully in agony. "When a man is about to be put to death," one writer said, "how strong is the inducement to abandon his purpose, his plans, his principles, if it may save his life? How many of feeble virtue have yielded just there?" How easy it is when we come close to death and give it up. I surrender. I can't do it anymore. But the Lord didn't give up. He was about to endure sorrows never before endured. The decision Christ made in that moment would determine whether sin or holiness would reign eternally, whether God or Satan would triumph. And so Satan would use all his forces to deter Christ, to assault him, to attack him, to do him in. But he did not prevail. Our God prevailed. The man of sorrows in the garden, what terror, what agony and conflict, what torment to resist the onslaught of Satan. We've not reached that point. That's what the writer's trying to say. You and I haven't come to that point yet of our struggle against sin. We're not dead yet, so don't give up. How can we lay down our weapons when we consider him? How can we think of abandoning our faith when we consider him? Are you going to give up that fight against sin in light of what he endured on your behalf? Will you give in to sin when your Redeemer would not yield for 1 second? He didn't give in for one nanosecond to sin ever. And yet he faced the onslaught of sin and the enemy, and not just the enemy, the devil, but the enemy of all your sin and my sin put upon him on the cross. He endured that until he cried out, "It is finished. It is finished." And then would be glory to follow. We surely don't dwell on Christ enough. The highest motivation to keep on in our struggle against sin is the example of Jesus Christ. Don't give in. Consider him. You're not dead yet. The greatest encouragement to persevere is a very wonderful truth that Christ persevered. He did it. And we're to follow him. He's our example. He's our Savior, our friend, our God, our Father, the lover of our souls. And he brought a great victory over sin, the victory for you and me personally, for you and me. So great a victory, he was able to deliver us from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of the sin nature so that we need not live in our sins. We still battle the remains of sin, but the penalty has been paid. The burden has been taken care of. How shall we that are dead to sins live any longer therein? In Hebrews chapter 2, striving against sin, our passage says, "You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Sin is something that cannot be ignored, can't be wished away. Sometimes we like it. We think, "Well, I'm old enough now. I've been saved so long. It's not quite the battle it was." Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. That's not the case in my life. Maybe I'm different than you. But my battle against sin is as ferocious as it's ever been. It clings tenaciously every step of the way, and it must be fought against and battled against. We're striving against sin. The word is antagonize. We get our word antagonize from this Greek word antagonizomai, something like that. It's antagonize, struggle against. It's an allusion to a boxing contest. It's like boxing the devil, boxing sin. Back in those days, in Jesus' time, I understand they would put leather straps around their hands, extending to their wrists and their elbow and their shoulder, and they would sew pieces of lead or iron in them to strike more destructive against the opponent. And the fighting often would result in a lot of blood. So it was wicked. Well, our struggle is with sin, and it's like that, and we have to resist. We fight and are striving against sin, outside and within, don't we? Against the fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And how easily we yield to sin. We yield to the sin which does so easily beset us. Back in Hebrews 12, 1. The sin which easily besets us or entangles us or clings closely to us. How quickly we go in its pathway. There's not even a struggle. There's not even a fight. We give up and the battle's over before it's begun. We can't let that happen. The battle can't be over before it's begun. It's a battle for the mind and the heart and the deeds. And we think no one knows. Well, yeah, I'm having a battle, but no one knows about it. God knows. God knows it all, doesn't he? And maybe others know more than you'd like to think. But we think no one knows. Others do it. Or we can repent later on, or we don't have any power to resist it. It doesn't matter, and we give in. Have you given in? Don't give in. Don't give up. Repent and come to Christ. He forgives, he cleanses, and he gives you strength. Christ went alone And he was victorious. Alone with the adversary in the darkness of sin's night, he fought him, he resisted him, and he triumphed. And so you and I can and will triumph if we only purpose in our heart and follow that resolve to the very last breath, even unto blood. And then we'll be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease. But not until then, not until then. May God help us to resolve to the very last breath, even to blood. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. We're going to get a crown. We're going to receive a crown if we'll be faithful. Be faithful even unto death. Can I say, will I be able to say, I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. I can from today onward. You say, well, Pastor, I messed up so much. There's no hope for me. There's hope for you if you know Christ. There's hope. The Lord gives you hope. And he gives you encouragement. So some encouragement in the struggle, in the battle. God help us to give our all to him. He is worthy. He is glorious. He gives us power and strength if we will but yield our all to him. Do you know him? Do you love him? Are you rejoicing in him today? God help us to go away excited about giving our all to him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement in the battle. We just looked at one passage and a few scripture that go along with that, but we know the Bible is filled, just filled with encouragement and admonition for us in the battle. Life is a battle, Lord. You know that better than any of us. You were in all points tempted, tested, tried, like as we are, yet without sin. And we thank you. Thanks be to God who gives us a victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who makes us more than conquerors, overwhelming conquerors through him that loved us. And Lord, we don't always feel much like conquerors. We feel like victims. But we know we haven't yet resisted unto blood. So help us resist. Help us to be steadfast. Help us to keep on keeping on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. May we too endure it all, Lord, for you. Help us now as we close. We give this time to you, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number